How about some predictions through the eyes of an astrologer? That's what we're going to do for the rest of the night on Coast to Coast AM with Mark Lerner. Stand by. And we're bringing in Mark Lerner now, graduating from Michigan State University. It's where two of my sisters went. His book, Welcome to Planet Earth, reached thousands of astrological students and pros around the world. He became well-respected as one of the top periodicals. His first astrological website was launched in the mid-1990s, and the new Earth Aquarius News website represents a great ideal and dream of merging astrological wisdom with late-breaking reporting in an online newspaper format. Here he is back on Coast to Coast, Mark Lerner. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Great, George. Nice to be with you tonight.
My pleasure. So the eyes of an astrologer, huh? Well, what does he see these days?
Well, are you still running for president? I was just going to ask you, whatever happened with the George for president possibility?
Who knows? Who knows what those people will do?
I just thought I'd let you know, actually, next year on your birthday, the planet Jupiter, which is the biggest planet, as you know, in our solar system, aside from the sun being so much more massive, Jupiter enters Taurus, the first Earth sign, on your birthday next year, which is good for anything, anything expansive, particularly being able, you talk about eyes of an astrologer, seeing into the economy and being able to clearly advise all the great listeners. So next year is bigger and better for George Norrie and Coast to Coast.
Well, the coast keeps getting bigger and bigger too, Mark, so that's great. Tell me a little bit about astrology. So give us the difference between being an astrologer, a pure psychic. Just kind of give us the difference.
Well, that's a great question, because very often when people come to me as clients, they pretty much assume that they don't have to tell me anything about their lives. One of the things that I do is I try to extract as much information through emails. Most of the readings that I do, consultations, are for people I never meet, because through the show like yours and so many other things I've done, Welcome to Planet Earth, Earth Aquarius News, people are just contacting me from everywhere. So I need a means to be able to find out information. And I don't push people on. It can be as simple as they can just list hobbies, their work, the questions they have, things like that. But I like to know things about a person. I don't like to guess as if I know everything from some psychic crystal ball intuitive level. Now, I am fairly intuitive. I've always been very intuitive, but that's not really part of astrology. Astrology is really more of a science, art, and language where we're utilizing the planetary energies that are in the solar system and the zodiacal, the 12 signs of the zodiac, and it's become an incredible science through all the technology of the last 30, 40 years. So it's pretty fantastic for astrologers these days.
Do we go in cycles?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I see everything almost in that way. The whole linear universe, which affects everything about time, the sense that we think that that there is time, and in reality, if we were to go, I like to always tell people, if we were the first people, let's say, traveling to Mars, and it might take about 9 months to get there. I mean, if we could go in a fairly speedy way, but we would very quickly lose our sense of Earth orientation, because once we're out of this planet, we're not spinning around in what we call 24 hours. Everything would be disoriented. So time is just something that's part of our earthly spinning of 24 hours and our annual 365-day journey around the sun. And all because of that, we have set up through thousands of years this kind of time mechanism, which is really not, as most philosophers and spiritually inclined people will say, there is no time as we understand it.
Tell me a little bit about Jupiter and how important it is in the astrological signs, especially this year.
Yeah, well, what's happening this year is really interesting. A lot of students of astrology, they'll learn early on for a planet like Jupiter that it rules the sign Sagittarius. If a person is a sun sign Sagittarian, let's say they're born approximately between around November 22nd and December 19th of any given year, they'll assume, okay, Jupiter is my ruling planet, therefore it's very strong, and all the qualities of that planet, which are very usually positive. Jupiter is a planet of benevolence and providence and opportunity and good fortune. and the power of positive thinking. So Jupiter is always said to rule Sagittarius, but in the ancient and medieval astrology, before we got to the modern era where we discovered outer planets and asteroids and other kind of celestial bodies, Jupiter was always said to rule two signs, and the other sign was Pisces. So that was considered Jupiter having a kind of day rulership of a fire sign, Sagittarius, but also a kind of night or internal rulership of the last sign of the zodiac, Pisces. And this year, Jupiter is in Pisces, and Jupiter is kind of like the sun in an odd way. We know that the sun appears to move through each sign of the zodiac every month, and after 1 year, the sun has apparently moved through all the signs of the zodiac, when actually it's the Earth that's actually moving around the sun, but we tend to see it as the sun. Meanwhile, Jupiter takes 12 years, not 12 months. And so this year, Jupiter has moved through Pisces. It went a little bit into the sign of Aries and is now retrograding backwards from our standpoint. And tomorrow, Jupiter goes back into Pisces for several more months. It's basically an opportunity for all the water sign people out there, even the Cancerians and the Scorpios, plus people who have strong Pisces, everybody who has a lot of water in their chart, they can tap into this Jupiterian watery sort of benevolence over the next few months and certainly through the end of the year.
Mark, why does it seem that people who, you know, have astrological charts, you know, all of us, I'm a Gemini, why when people meet each other do they always say, what's your sign?
Well, that is because of sun sign astrology, which, believe it or not, was not always with us. It was more or less an invention around almost 100 years ago. I don't have it right in front of me, but around the 1920s and 1930s, particularly in America, and probably caught on pretty well in England, the newspapers started hiring people, and there were some pretty well-known people at the time who were coming out with their almanacs. And by the way, almanacs and astrology really go back hundreds of years. I've been reading a book that I had in my library. I had never really fully gotten into the thick of it, and it's describing how in England in the 1700s and 1800s there was a profusion of these almanacs by people like myself and so many of the other great astrologers around the country and the world. And in those days there were these fledgling attempts to put these almanacs together. And even in our country, it turns out, I have a great book, George, that George Washington, okay, and this is some research by a British writer, and he put together a fabulous book, and it turns out George Washington on his farm was using astronomy and the rising of Venus and the setting of the planets, and he was really into that. We might not call it astrology per se, but it was kind of more of a land and farm type use of astrological wisdom, and of course a lot of these people, the founding fathers, were part of these mysterious brotherhoods. Things like that. So all of this is really fascinating, but the Jupiter energy that is going on now is sort of opening all kinds of doors into, you know, the esoteric wisdom and the philosophical brotherhoods and sisterhoods that have sort of held on to this, and now it's being all released as we go into this technological age.
The Farmer's Almanac, which came out in 1818, is that astrology?
Well, you know, here's the thing. A lot of astrology goes back to what we might call, there are two kinds of astrology. The most ancient were called horary astrology, which is really astrology of the hour, where astrologers would actually be watching the rising and setting of planets. And even though that's an astronomical, more agricultural technique to know when is something rising, when is it setting, when is it directly overhead, it was more observational, George. That's what I'm saying. And the reason it had to be more observational is they didn't have the kind of research we have now, where nowadays we have what are called ephemerides, and they are very, very accurate. And part of the whole thing in astrology over decades has been, how can we get accuracy of where are the sun, moon, the eight main planets, the asteroids, Chiron, all these other factors? If you don't know where they are, then you can't accurately analyze a birth chart or any kind of moment in time. And astrology is basically the fine art and science of what is happening at a moment of time in order to understand the meaning of that person's life or the beginning of a job or somebody is elected to some kind of an office. Everything is the birth of a moment of time and the power in that moment of time. And one other little thing here, aside from horary astrology or the astrology of an hour, let's say, Is a planet rising? Is the moon setting? And how might that influence land or irrigation or planting flowers or whatever it may be? There's electional astrology, and that where the astrologers, particularly in the past, they might not know when someone was born because birth times were relatively unknown in the Middle Ages and the ancient world. Nobody knew what time they were really born. They were just happy to be born and survive all the pestilence and all the problems. But an astrologer could help people elect the time. If they knew where the planets were actually moving at a certain point in time, they could say, okay, well, this would be a good day or a good week to start this project or do this or that.
What does it mean with planets in retrograde and what planets might be in retrograde right now?
Okay, well, right now, as a lot of astrology students and professionals know, we're in one of these Mercury retrogrades, and they happen 3 times a year. They happen for 3 weeks at a time. And I have spent my life trying to help educate people to realize this is not a bad thing. Unfortunately, in the field of astrology, early on, when you become sort of part of this little clique or group of knowers of astrology, somebody's going to say, oh, you better be real careful. Don't go on that plane, or don't take this baggage, or watch out, your messages might be lost in your answering machine, or some kind of thing. You know, don't send out that letter because Mercury's in reverse. And actually, Mercury in reverse, or we have right now Jupiter's in reverse and Uranus is in reverse, but Mercury is the big one because it happens the most most times in the year. Literally 16% of the year, if you actually analyze it, Mercury is retrograde. But Mercury retrograde is more of an opportunity to relearn and reevaluate, review some of the mistakes we all make. It basically is a planet that appears to be going in reverse, even though in reality, from the solar perspective, nothing's going backwards. The planets keep orbiting in their natural orbits. It's because we're 93 million miles away. We're the third planet from the sun. And the big metaphor or image to use is if we're at a railroad station, you know how you pull out. Let's say you're pulling out. There's another train next to you. They're going to be going the same direction. They pull out a little after you, and then there's that momentary illusion where it looks like they're going in the other direction when you know they're really going with you, but they're going slower than you are. You know that feeling?
Yep.
A train coming in the same direction, but they've started a little later, and there's that odd moment. It's like, what's going on here? And then you realize, oh, they're just going slower, but it looks like they're going backwards. That's kind of what the retrograde factor is all about. It has to do with Earth and how we view everything in the solar system.
Have you ever had that moment where you're parked behind somebody at a light, for example, and, you know, they're moving ever so slightly. You got your foot on the brake, but it feels like you're moving into their bumper, and it's the weirdest thing. Has that ever happened to you?
A lot of things are very weird with lights, and certainly me and how I view things. So I don't know if maybe that has to do with the 1950 type of reality, but I have that a lot myself, particularly out here in Oregon.
Back to some of your prophecies, which we'll get into in the next half hour, Mark. Has astrology changed over the years on a scientific way?
Well, I love the fact that I've done this for 38 years. And when I first got into it, I tell people a little story. My beloved father, who passed away a number of years ago, he was a medical doctor. Well, the fact that I suddenly got into astrology was shocking to my parents because I was sort of being groomed. And as you mentioned, went to Michigan State University and pre-med. Then I shifted to pre-law. Then I got into sociology, and that became my major, social science. But what basically happened is that astrology went from, let's say, in 1972, when I first was involved, we had no computers, we had no handheld calculators. About 5 years into my being into astrology in 1977, the first little, remember the Texas Instrument type little calculators you could get, and they were pretty fancy.
Oh, yeah.
In those days, and people would love to get those, and they'd have all the stuff like slide rules and all this mathematics, but now it's all in this little device. And now we would look at those things as archaic with cell phones and satellites and computers, everything. But we, the first astrology programs came into some of these things, and I was in Scotland at Findhorn, this community I lived in my late 20s back in the 1970s. And a pal and myself, we got these programs, and we were just over the moon because now we could put in some numbers and calculate on the fly somebody's rising sign or what was directly above and where all the planets were located. And that was 77. And then we suddenly got all the other programs to come in with PCs and then Macs and so on. So astrology is really applied mathematics. And so when we deal with the circles, with the horoscopes and putting in the 12 signs and all the symbols of the planets that everybody looks at as hieroglyphics, Of course, it doesn't really take that long to look at those symbols, learn what they are, and then begin to figure it all out. But it is very precise, and it's very mathematically oriented.
Interesting. It's pretty fascinating work. And you've been doing this for a long, long time, and you seem to have perfected it. Tell me a little bit more about Earth Aquarius News.
Earth Aquarius News started about 5 years ago, and we are redesigning the website, which is going to be really exciting. I know you're always doing stuff with Coast to Coast, which is fabulous. We're going to have more videos. We're going to have a blog. Everything is going to be designed just to be more open to everyone. But the main thing I've been doing for 31 years now, or about 29 to 30 years, is what I call the Daily Cosmic Calendar. And on my website, anyone can get that for several weeks into the future. But here and there, on places like Yahoo and elsewhere, people have seen it one day at a time, and they are kind of hooked into it. And it's basically a daily analysis of what's happening on any given day. I know when we come back here, we'll be able to talk about things like on September 19th, for instance, Jupiter and Uranus come into a conjunction, and they only do this every 14 years. And so we're going to have one of these on September 19th, and in my daily report, I'll talk about what that is in plain English and try and give people a hopeful indicator of what they can do in order to make it more valid and important in their lives, those kind of things.
Well, when you make some of your astrological predictions, Mark, is it the date that you get first, and then you have to kind of bring in what might happen? And if so, how do you do that? Or do you get the event first, and then the dates follow?
I would have to say you're right. I mean, what it is what we call these ephemerides, or any kind of book on astrology, goes from simply January, December, day by day, week by week. And so if I'm going to get a sense of, let's say, at the beginning of 2010, when I was going to get an overview of the year, I just look month by month and just store in my memory. I mean, I know there are so many things that are going on in my head, from clients I've done work for and cycles that have happened and special projects I've worked on, and all that stays in there. So I've already, having done this for 40 years, I'm sort of intuitively knowing what's going to happen. Then I pinpoint the exact days, and then I start working on the meaning of those things and weaving them into things like the sun signs and where the moon is and the other planets and so on.
So if I say things to you, war with Iran,
right,
would you be able to say something about that and tie it into a specific date and say yes or no?
For tonight, it would be a little bit hard, but I could, you know, fool around with it. I know certain things in my mind from having studied the charts that I work with on Iran. Some of those things are so strongly imprinted in my mind that I can make educated guesses. But what I would want to do is I want to look ahead at what are called the new moons, the full moons, any eclipses, any major events that would trigger something in the chart for Iran, or let's say if it was Israel, you know, starting something with Iran or America, whoever was going to be the aggressor or the rival. I would want to know both charts and then look at the cycles.
And then you have to interpret yourself?
Well, yeah. Well, then the big question is, like, for instance, back in 2001, I spent from February to August worrying that we were going to get in a war in 2001 based on two major things, Mars and America's birth chart. And we got to the end of August. I suddenly was so thankful that I didn't alarm everybody by saying America was going to be in a war. And then somebody pounded on my door on September 11th and said, you better get up. You know, like, you need to get started writing.
You must have fallen out of your bed. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And next hour, we'll give you an opportunity to talk with the astrologer Mark Lerner. Perhaps you will get a little bit of the insight into your own future. And when we come back, what's in our future? We'll talk with Mark Lerner about that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We've got Mark Lerner. We'll take calls next hour, as I mentioned. Mark, astrologically speaking, give us a little insight into all of us for the rest of this year. What do things look like?
Well, as I mentioned, we're in Mercury retrograde right now, and for those people who look forward to Mercury going forward, that planet goes forward in the late afternoon Pacific time this coming Sunday, September 12th. So let's just say the evening of September 12th into Monday, September 13th, for the next couple of months, Mercury goes forward. It starts increasing its daily speed. That tends to help communications in general.
things like transportation, business, trade, literary projects, things like that. The next Mercury retrograde that we all have to face will be December 10th, and that'll run for another 3 weeks, not to throw another monkey wrench in. But
yeah, Merry Christmas, right?
Right. December 10th through like the 29th or the 30th that will be the next Mercury retrograde. Now, there is something really exciting, though. Jupiter and Uranus come together in a conjunction. They only do this every 14 years. We landed, for those people who absolutely believe, and I believe that we did land on the moon.
I do, too.
So I know there's a lot of people who don't, but we go back to July 20th there of 1969. Exactly on that date, Jupiter and Uranus were in a conjunction early in the sign of Libra. We tend to get advances in air travel, inventions, science, cutting edge kinds of things when these two planets come together. And they've already come together once on June 8th, and they're going to come together again 4 days into the new year, January 4th, but we have them together on Saturday, September 18th. And so anybody out there, you're planning something for the weekend of the 18th and 19th of September, that Saturday, the 18th, is pretty spectacular for anything that's cutting edge, advanced, highly scientific, also even on the metaphysical levels as well. So that's a spectacular conjunction. And then the other big thing that's coming up in the near future, I mean, there's quite a lot. We're going to have, I would like to mention maybe in the next sequence or somewhere in the next half hour about America's Saturn return, because this only happens every 30 years and it will influence the economy and the election, some other things.
Yeah, let's follow up on that.
We can talk about that a little bit, but Venus, the planet Venus, every year and a half goes from the regular forward momentum into one of those retrogrades, and that's going to happen early on October 8th. And whenever Venus goes in reverse, first of all women are primarily affected by that, even though men also will be affected because we all have emotions and feelings no matter what our gender is. But women in particular, in terms of creative artistry, relationship, just in terms of the power of love and magnetic attraction among friends and lovers, all of this becomes a little disjointed and a little unsettled from October 8th to November 18th, the six-week period when Venus goes retrograde. But the other thing is that Venus is not just love, it's also money. And what's intriguing is that Venus has a lot to do in its cycles with whether we have bull or bear markets. And so this is something that can lead in also to a little bit of a discussion you and I can have about things like the commodities and how we can look at that. But Venus is currently indicating a more bearish market. We've had that for a number of months. When I say bearish, I mean, say, in the stock market in particular. While there are these days where it will go up, you know, or over a week it might go up a few hundred points, it hasn't really made any giant leaps, you know, back up in the higher levels. As it used to be when it got up to 14,100. It's gone nowhere near there. Everybody had been touting this big recovery, and it didn't happen. And, of course, the unemployment numbers are incredibly high because Venus, well, I say because, from the astrological level, Venus has been in a cycle that lasts for about 9 months of being more bearish, and that's going to change around October 28th. The end of October into November brings a bullish sentiment right around the election, and that will last all the way into parts of the summer of 2011. So we can throw that idea around a little bit.
Can you determine the difference, Mark, between good and evil through astrology?
I would probably say no from a chart. For instance, I studied a lot when I was in college before I ever got into astrology about things like Nazi Germany, rise and fall of the Third Reich, and things like that. And when I got into astrology, in order to answer some of the questions that you're bringing up, particularly, can you look at a chart and see is this a chart of a person who's going to be good or evil? There were a number of people who were very much involved in the higher ranks of, let's say, Nazi Germany, who might have charts that we might look at and say, wow, there's a compassionate person, when totally not. So what happens is you really have to factor in childhood and upbringing and background and other kinds of things. And also, I personally believe in the spiritual universe that we're all souls and spirits, as well as we have physical bodies and we have emotions and we have our minds, but that I believe life precedes our birth and life is after you know, after we die in this particular existence, and that there are other levels of reality. But the thing is, I believe that souls do have different experiences, or souls and spirits from other lives. And maybe there's an incarnation where a person is unfortunately going down the wrong path, or something has led them into something that is an evil kind of thing from the way the majority of society looks at that. And then hopefully they correct that, assuming there is reincarnation, which I believe very strongly there is. They learn some kind of lesson, and hopefully if they do come back to the Earth reality, that they don't do that kind of thing again.
Have you ever been frustrated with astrology? I mean, has there ever been anything that, you know, went wrong and you couldn't figure it out?
I am a very persistent person, and I work actually with, when you brought up about astrology.
No kidding. I used to get your emails. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I'm persistent from the angle of what you're talking about. I look at astrology as problem solving. Okay, it's like somebody wants to do the daily New York Times crossword puzzle, or one of those one-on-ones with the numbers. It's like, until I get this, I'm not leaving my lunch break or whatever it is. And I will just keep focused. What I believe is that I can figure out, if I look at a person's birth chart and they do give me their accurate birth time, then the questions that they're asking me, as long as they provide enough information, I can help them to unravel that kind of story, as long as I keep working on it. Sometimes it takes a long time. It depends on, like, what the situation is. And sometimes there are no actual answers. I mean, what I mean is that you can figure out where everything stems from, but to correct it, the person has to grow, they have to change, and a whole lot of other things have to happen. So I do believe that I can pretty much find answers and help people for the most part. I've never really confronted something where it's completely stumped me, as long as I have the birth data that's accurate.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the next year or two, Mark, and just overall now. Tell us some of the things you're seeing.
Well, one of the big things, and again, this, we could go back and forth with this, one of the challenges is when America's chart, at least for a lot of listeners who are in America, and America's chart, fortunately or unfortunately, affects everybody, because our Federal Reserve in our country, whether we like it or not, they're kind of the linchpin now of whether the national and international economies are going to work well, and that things are going to somehow improve or not, because we're all kind of believing in this Wizard of Oz situation that whether it's Ben Bernanke and all these people can somehow or another keep doing what they're doing, when so many of us feel like the whole country needs to be reconstructed,
yes,
you know, in a completely different way. Now, every 30 years, Saturn will come back in any chart, whether for a person or a nation. And even though there's some confusion by some people about when the country was born, most astrologers accept that America is a July 4th, 1776 baby, and that at the Declaration of Independence, the country came into being. Well, the Saturn for the United States is right in the middle of the sign of Libra, and it's existing in a situation where we're going to have three Saturn returns, and they only happen every 30 years. So the first one is on December 3rd, coming up right after Thanksgiving. And then through retrograde motion, we'll have another one of these on March 22nd of 2011, and then a third one on August 28th. They often come in trinities, and it has to do with retrograde motion.
Deaths so, do too, don't they, in a strange way? They always come in threes.
Right. Once in a while, with a Saturn return, it would be great to have one rather than three, because three drags out the whole experience over about 9 months. That's the problem of having retrograde. It's not so much that the things are retrograde. It's just that they prolong the potential agony of whatever it is that the symbol represents. In the Saturn case, Saturn actually has some really wonderful qualities: hard work, perseverance, being a leader, being in charge, being focused, being logical, common sense. All those things are very Saturnian. The shadow side, unfortunately, is authoritarian, heavy-handedness, fear, worry, stress, chronic disability kind of things, being very pessimistic, leading to depression. And literally, we get into economics. Now, I was just earlier in the evening, went back to every single recession that the United States went through to try and coordinate how many times was Saturn returning in our chart while that was happening. Well, it certainly was happening. It was during the previous hour or so, there was a discussion about Reagan. Somebody called and talked about Reagan, President Reagan, right, and what went on there. Well, as many people know, regardless of conservative versus non-conservative tax policies and other things, we had a major recession while President Reagan was in office. And that was particularly in 1981, like the summer of 81 into around November of 82. And we did have Saturn back in the same kind of thing. That's 30 years ago. So it is a little bit demoralizing. Is the last time we had Saturn coming back, we had the recession of the early 1980s.
Okay, but why does that happen? Why does that work like that?
Okay, well, now here's the deal. There are several things that can affect the United States chart. All the outer, bigger, and slower-moving planets, from Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, they all have different cycles, George. Like some of them may be 50-some-odd-year cycles or 80-some-odd-year cycles. So what's happening, for instance, one of the cycles, there's an interesting book that's out, which I don't actually recommend right now that everybody get, but I think it's called The Next Depression or whatever. And the fellow was wrong about certain things. It's the same guy who said Dow 36,000 about 10 years ago, and it never happened. However, the same person is saying there's an 80-year cycle, and 80 years from 1930 is 2010. And he basically describes a kind of winter, spring, summer, fall type of thing that happens like every 20 years. The country kind of baths in a different season, and that right now we're in a winter kind of season, which is similar to what happened in the 1930s, and he gives all this evidence of why that's happening. From the astrology view, what happens is, in 1929, 1930, Pluto was discovered, and there were certain cycles of the outer planet Pluto, and we never knew about it. And suddenly we realized, oh, my God, there's this planet out there that we never knew anything about. The astrologers start tracking Pluto. We were aware of Neptune, but it was only discovered in 1846. So what happens is we keep discovering different planets. We start charting their cycles, and we discover more and more about how, let's say, American history or British history or history of the world, wherever it is, we have to keep superimposing these cycles to figure out, you know, what would happen or could happen. So in other words, let's say we look for the next year. So let's just take the United States for a moment over the next year, your question. We have a Saturn return in three phases, which is not primarily helpful, although if you're hardworking and you want to restructure the government and you want things to be more sound and more logical and not overspend, then the thing with the Tea Party movement, in other words, the conservative principles get stronger. I mean, just the fact that Reagan was actually president, you could distinguish, George, between the fact that the recession happened during the Reagan administration, and maybe you could say, well, he was president because Saturn was so strong and we needed a Saturnian conservative person at that time. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Saturn could have represented, we need the conservative principle, just like now. This is the call that seems to be happening for the American people. They are saying, look, and it's with the Federal Reserve, it's with the president administration, and so on. And it doesn't really have to do with Democrat or Republican anymore. It has to do with how can we keep printing money through the Federal Reserve? How can we not have a gold standard or some kind of standard with metals and things like we've had in the past with gold and silver? None of that makes any sense. That's why the commodities are going so high or could go really high, as a lot of people are predicting, as you know. Gold, silver, platinum, all these kind of metals could go sky high because
sure.
People have lost faith in paper. It's not just the dollar. It's all paper everywhere. And it's just that the dollar is the reserve currency of the world. So if Saturn comes back and we need to restructure who we are, we need to do it more carefully and conservatively, a la Saturn, then this is part of the reason why a movement like the Tea Party, like, for instance, a lot of people are saying, well, great for the Republicans, but is it? You know, the Republican Party is getting really restructured through this thing because a lot of the fighting is who is going to get to represent those people, you know what I mean? And a lot of the Republicans who are in office, they lose out too when the Tea Party people come in, you see what I mean? But this is an uprising from the people to try and take back, in a sense, the government and a sense of, like, we need to control our own lives, which is really the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Interesting, Mark. And it seems to work. Pretty accurate,
well,
isn't it?
Well, yeah, because even Reagan, you know, like, again, everybody could argue forever, you know. You know, a lot of the liberals didn't like his policies. A lot of the conservatives did. But here's the thing. He was a symbol of something, okay? And that symbology was very much the planet Saturn.
He and his wife were into astrology, as you know.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing, too. Yeah, I have one of those Time magazines from around 1987 when Donald Regan, you know, almost spelled like Reagan, who had been his Secretary of Treasury and
right.
chief of staff, kind of spilled the beans. They had that whole rivalry between him and Nancy Reagan. But that was pretty extraordinary. And within the field of astrology, it was really illuminating, too. I think it set us back as astrologers from, like, though government people wanted to be sort of associated too much with astrology people. But for many years, Welcome to Planet Earth, the magazine that I've been doing in print, I would send it to people in the government during the Clinton administration. It wasn't attached to whether they read it or not, but I would often get some feedback from people saying, hey, keep sending it. Thanks a lot. You know, so they were open to it a little bit.
Well, Mark, we're going to take some phone calls next hour. Perhaps you can guide some folks through the next year or two. Can you do that?
I will do my best, depending on the kind of question that they ask. We are.
Well, tell me what you prefer. Let's set some ground rules.
Well, yeah, I mean, like if somebody, it doesn't work for somebody to say, I was born on such and such a day at this time,
right,
what's
going
to happen. If they were to say perhaps something like, if they have a little astrology awareness, that would be more helpful. Like, I'm somebody who's this sign and I have this particular cycle coming up, what's your opinion of that cycle? I could probably do that. Or if they had some questions that pertain to things like, where do you see the economy going because I have such and such an issue in my life?
Okay, we can do that, and we can go through that.
If it's something I can't answer, I'll be real honest and say that's not the kind of thing that I can do without doing a chart or something.
Could you have foreseen the BP oil spill, for example?
Well, I'll tell you what, on the front of my website, just the month before, do you remember when President Obama actually said, hey, I want us to drill in the lower Atlantic? I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah.
You know, he suddenly, a lot of the things, and this is so bizarre, even though philosophically and emotionally he seems to be very much on the left, he's hired a lot of people, Timothy Geithner, Summers, and a number of other people who are very conservative, and he keeps trying to do these things that seem like they aren't actually Republican outlooks. So I did a chart which is based on what's called astrocartography or relocation astrology, and I was able to see the planet Neptune, which has a lot to do with oil, and it was very prominent at that time, and it was in the month just before that BP oil. So,
pretty good timing, Mark Lerner.
Yeah, I did see some of that coming up, but I didn't imagine the intensity of what was going to happen.
What's new on EarthAquariusNews.com? What do you recommend people go to the site and see?
Well, right, there's a whole bunch of things that are freebies all on the front. If they scroll down, they can get a sense of what's on the inside in case they want to subscribe, which is, you know, one of the best things for them to do, because that's where the meat and potatoes are all on the inside. But there are a lot of freebies all on the front.
All right, Mark, we'll do that. And if you need to reach me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com as well. When we come back, final hour with astrologer Mark Lerner, we will take your phone calls. He's set the ground rules. So we'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM.